We're in the book of Revelation, and we've come to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and 7 are about the seals. The seals and the sealed are the correct way to actually say that. Chapter 1, of course, was about a picture of the conquering Christ, not the humble Jesus that was here on earth, not the one with the holding the lambs or the little child on his lap, but the all-powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one whose eyes were like lasers, whose voice was like the roar of the Niagara Falls, whose out of his mouth came a sword, a double-edged sword. In other words, the conquering Jesus. When he comes again, he will not come as a baby born in a manger in humble circumstances. He will come to reign and to rule forever and ever. Chapters 2 and 3 are about the seven churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And of these seven churches, five of them were told to repent. But one thing all of them had in common was suffering. They had a lot of suffering. They were under suffering from the Roman government, who believed that Caesar was Lord, Caesar was God. And of course, they were constantly under attack from the Jews because the Jews did not want those who'd become Christians to become Christians. They wanted them to remain Jews, so they were persecuted. And sometimes they were denied jobs. Sometimes they were put to death. They were beheaded for their faith. So suffering was a part of that early church. Chapters 4 and 5 have to do with worship in heaven. John was shown this open door and ushered into the presence of God. He was around the throne of God. The word throne is used over and over, close to 40 times in the book of Revelation. And as John gets this view of heaven, he is amazed. And I love that part there in chapter 5 where it says he saw and every creature. You remember the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. I believe the scriptures teach that every living thing will bow down and worship around the throne of God. And you say, well, are you talking about my dog or my cat? Yeah, I think every living thing will worship God. I can't prove that, but that's really what the scripture is teaching there in chapter 5. All creation will bow. All creation, every knee will bend. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it's a beautiful picture of worship. And it says 10,000 times 10,000 angels are praising God. All power and glory and might are singing his praises. But in the midst of this, and of course, we still have the suffering that the seven churches were going through, and all of us go through suffering at one time or another. We all go through difficult times in life. We lose loved ones. We go through physical problems. Sometimes it's marital problems. Sometimes it's financial problems. Sometimes it's just the negative things that are going on in the world. It's easy to get down. It's easy to go from singing to suffering. Read in the Reader's Digest a number of years ago about a lady that had a little bird, a little parakeet. His name was Chippy. And Chippy, this is you know, one of these stories somebody submitted, so I assume it's true. This lady was vacuuming in her house, and she noticed that the cage in which Chippy lived, that the bottom of it was dirty. And so she put a special attachment on the end of her vacuum hose, and she went in there. But about that time, the phone rang, and she turned around, and when she did, Chippy got sucked up into the vacuum cleaner. And she panicked. She, you know, turned off the vacuum, and as quickly as she could, she opened the thing up and started going through the bag that had all the dirt and lint and everything. And she found Chippy, and he was alive, but just just barely, and covered with dirt. Chippy was a dirty birdie, and I'm sorry about that. But anyway, she took him and put him under the faucet in the kitchen sink, ran cold water on him, and washed all the dirt off. And then the poor little bird was shivering, and Chippy was drippy. And that's all I've got on that. But anyway, she thought, well, what am I going to do? So she goes into the bathroom, and she gets out her hair dryer, and she starts blow-drying this poor little bird. And a neighbor that she'd told about this was over to her house one day, and she said, well, how's Chippy doing? And she said, well, Chippy's okay, but Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. Sometimes life steals our song. Life steals our singing. So that's the first point here that I want you to think about for just a moment. Sometimes life can get pretty hard, pretty difficult. Well, let's look at the text. Again, it's in Revelation chapter 6. I promise I won't keep you all day, but we'll get out of here fairly soon. But this is an amazing text. This is about the seals. Again, chapter 5 is about the seals. Remember, there was a scroll in chapter 5. There was a scroll, and nobody was found worthy to open that scroll except the Lamb, Jesus. There was a scroll, and there were seven seals, and the number 7 is repeated over and over again in the book of Revelation. There are 7 vials, there are 7 bowls, there are 7 seals. So we see chapters then 6 through 18, beginning with where we are right now, are about a great tribulation. And it's a 7-year period of God's wrath, God's judgment on the earth. He's going to purge this earth at some point. At some point, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Cataclysmic things are going to happen to this earth. It's going to be different. It's going to be better. It's going to be wonderful. And if you go back, and I don't have time, I don't want to take time at least this morning, to go back to the book of Daniel and talk about the 7 weeks of years, the 7 years of tribulation. But we'll talk about that later on. But Christians will be gone. Christians will not be here. Christians suffer now, but Christians will be caught up with the Lord at that time. They will not be on earth during that time. They will not be on earth during that time. That's because they will be taken away. We will not go through, the church will not go through the tribulation. Christians will be caught up with the Lord at that time. And if you go back and read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, you get a glimpse of that. And it's a pretty amazing thing. Let me just read a short period of that. 1 Thessalonians, verse 13, he says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant of those who fall asleep. That is, those who die. Christians just fall asleep. That's what Jesus said, too, about Lazarus. He was asleep. Or to grieve like the rest of men. You see, Jesus had told them that he would come back, and they thought, well, what if they're still alive? Or what if they die before he comes back? And Paul said, don't worry about that. That's not a problem. And he goes on to explain it. Don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. We believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. In other words, those will be raised from the dead. According to the Lord's own word, I tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up. That's where the word rapture comes from. It's a Greek word, raptuo. We will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So encourage each other with these words. In other words, some of these people were saying, well, listen, what if I die before Jesus comes back? And Paul said, don't worry about that, because the Lord is going to come back, but you who are alive are not going to go first. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first. They will go first. And we'll talk a lot more about the rapture and the great tribulation, the 7-year period later on. So we're talking about suffering just a little bit. Christians will suffer. Why do Christians suffer now? Well, there's lots of reasons. I've listed these in your bulletin. Again, I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but because of our own sinful choices. We know that. Everybody shake your head. Yes, Shan, we know that. We suffer because of our own dumb stuff, our own sinful choices. We suffer because of others, the other people's sinful choices. You could be robbed. You could be abused. You could be beaten. You could be hit by a drunk driver. Other people's sinful choices cause us to suffer. A fallen world. We live in a fallen world. We've polluted our world. You know, when you go back and look at the beginning of the Bible, and some of these guys, you know, lived 800-900 years. And that's because there was no pollution. Everything was pure. Everything was clean. And God had a special purpose, of course, in mind through all of that. But we live in a fallen world. Well, Satan's always attacking us. That's why we suffer. Remember the book of Job? Job was allowed to suffer by God because he was being tested. And sometimes Satan gets right after us, doesn't he? And as a result, we suffer. And of course, God himself, he tests us. So there's lots of scriptures that go with this, and I hope you'll take time to look these up. Now, we've all had times when we suffer. I have a couple of nephews, and this past year was a bad year for both of them. I have a nephew, Jim, who is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I was born and raised. And Jim got in some trouble. He went to school at Ozark, where I went, Ozark Christian College. And he and Perry Anderson, who preached last week, were best friends. They're still really good friends. When Perry goes home to Tulsa, they always play golf together or get together for some fellowship. So they've been best buddies for years and years. Well, earlier this year, he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and it had already spread to his lungs. It's been in the bulletin on the prayer list. And he was given 6 months to a year to live. Well, they've tried some new experimental treatments, and he's doing really well right now. And they've said, "Yeah, you might make it 5 years now." So he was, very happy about that. But what causes that? What caused that cancer? Well, we live in a fallen world, don't we? I have another nephew, and this is even sadder in many ways. His name's David. He's a minister at a church. It's Cross City Christian Church in Clovis, California, suburb of Fresno. And he went out there 25 years or so ago, and it was running about 350 people. Now they're running about 8,000. I mean, the thing just mushroom, just a mega church. It's an amazing place. Well, last spring, about February, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He's 60 years old, just turned 60. And they noticed that when he was preaching at first, his speech just started going slower and slower and slower. And he had long, long, awkward pauses. And, they went to some of the doctors that they could find out there. And that's what it turned out to be. And it's just gotten worse and worse. It got down where he was preaching about every other week and then about once a month. And now he can't preach at all. He can barely function. So, why does this happen? Why do we suffer? Well, that's to tell us, I believe, that this world is not our home. Things are bad. This is the theme of Revelation. Things are bad, but they're going to get worse. That's what we call tribulation. That's what we call trials. So let's look at this text before the snow gets us snowed in here. I watched, this is John writing, as the Lamb opened the first of seven seals. How many seals are there? Seven seals. All right. That number is over and over again. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say, in the voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Have you heard of the four horses of the apocalypse? That's where this comes from. I saw a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. This horse, this white horse, this rider on the white horse, this is the Antichrist. If you go back and look at 1 Thessalonians again, it talks about the Antichrist. Somebody's going to come, and he's going to sway the whole world. Everybody's going to think this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. It leads to what we think about as a one-world government, and there's a kind of a move toward that. Our coins, our money, more common language. There's a move toward a one-world government, and that's a whole other subject, of course. But he's on this white horse. He has a bow, but he doesn't have an arrow. So he's not going to win. And this happens, this Antichrist comes right before the period of tribulation, this seven-year period of tribulation. He's been on conquest. Verse 3, when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard, and the second living creature say, I heard the second living creature say, come. And then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. This horse, this red horse, is about war. Nation will rise against nation. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, at the end of times there will be wars and rumors of war. There's a war going on right now. There's a war going on in the Ukraine and Russia. There's a war going on in some sub-African, sub-Saharan countries. There's a war going on in Israel and Syria and Gaza. There's always been wars and rumors of wars. Well, it's going to get worse. The world's going to be at war with each other. This is the red horse. And he was given the power to take peace from the earth. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in its hand. And I heard what sounded like a voice saying among the four living creatures, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, a 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. This horse, black horse represents famine. Can you imagine worldwide famine? There are people right now that are starving to death in our world. As rich and abundant as this nation is, there are nations where people are literally starving. Well, that's going to get worse in this tribulation. It's going to be a lot worse, this seven-year period of tribulation. And he's just talking about the inequity of what things cost. We've all experienced inflation. Well, that's nothing compared to what it's going to be when this black horse comes along. And then, when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. And it explains it real easy what this is. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by wild beasts of the earth. Boy, aren't you looking forward to that? Well, fortunately, in Christ, we will not have to experience that. And remember what Revelation 1:18 says. Jesus, this all-powerful Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Jesus holds in his hand what? The keys of death and Hades, the keys of death and hell. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. Death robs us of our body, But Satan and hell robs us of our soul. Got that? Death may rob us of our physical body, and that will happen. Remember George Bernard Shaw, the great playwright, said the statistics are impressive. 1 out of 1 people die. But Satan, death, hell rob us of our soul, the most important part of us. So death and Hades was following close behind him, and they were given power over the fourth of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. Now, this is kind of where I'm going to end this for the most part today, but in the Old Testament, when sacrifices were made for the forgiveness of sins, they poured out the blood under the altar. They were, these people, a sacrifice. They were being sacrificed. These martyrs, their lives are sacrificed for Christ. There is persecution going on today in our world for Christians. A friend Jerry Carley has attended here several times. His wife, he passed away a little over a year ago, but he often prayed, Lord, be with the persecuted church. And there is a lot of persecution going on. There's an underground church in China. And when it's under attack, bad things happen to people. It's gone on under communism for many years. Karen and I had the privilege to spend a week in the Soviet Union back before the Iron Curtain fell down. And we were with this young family, and he said, if they find out we're Christians, we can't buy a car, we can't even get an apartment to live in. He said, that's how tough it is. And we know what's happened in many of the countries in Africa where tribes persecute one another, where the Islamic militants kill Christians, where they abduct young people, children, girls, and hold them hostage for a long time. There's a lot of persecution that's going on in the world. These people, under this fifth seal, these are the martyrs. And these people, God's going to take care of. He's going to reward them openly. Let's just go ahead here. Open the fifth seal. These are those who were slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. And they called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true? And we're going to get into that next week more in more detail. How long? There's two questions here. And the other question is, who can stand? How long and who can stand? Until, he says, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. Then each of them was given a white robe. You may think, well, big deal, I'd rather not be persecuted, but this is a reward. This is a robe of righteousness. This is a robe that guarantees eternal life in Jesus, in God's presence. And they were to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were killed as they had been was completed. He watched the sixth seal, opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. What is this? This is when the atmosphere literally dissolves as we know it. This great earthquake, you know what the Greek word is for earthquake? It's seismos. You've heard of seismic activity? It's kind of an interesting study word. The seismos, when this great earthquake comes, the sun will turn black like sackcloth. You know, when Jesus was crucified, the sun went dark, didn't it? It blacked out. Remember the eclipses last year? Kind of eerie, wasn't it? The earth will turn black. The sun will turn black. And the moon turned to blood red. So the stars, it says, in the sky fell to the earth as the late like lake figs drop from a tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up. Again, that's the atmosphere dissolving. and every mountain and island was removed from its place. There's going to be a cataclysmic change to this earth. There's going to be a new earth, a new heaven, a new earth. Scriptures talk about that over and over again. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, generals, rich, mighty, every slave, every free man, hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne." There's that word throne again. "And from the wrath of the Lamb." Who's the Lamb? Jesus. "For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" You know, there's some people who say, well, God's just like a doting grandfather. He just say, yeah, kids will be kids. They'll do whatever. Listen, we have a God who is just, and he's also the justifier. He died for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. But justice is going to come. This earth and those who reject him, those who refuse him, are not going to be able to stand. They're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them in that day if they're here. And again, this I believe that this is during the tribulation, and that if we are in Christ, we're not going to suffer that. So death claims the body, but hell, Hades, the grave, claims the soul. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time together, and I thank you for each person here and coming out in this snowy morning. And I just thank you, Father, for your word and for all that it means. And as we delve deeper into this amazing book, just give us some clarity, help us to apply it, help us to realize that even if we don't know the answers, if we can't figure out the symbolism, that we will make sure that we are right with you, that we are in your love, in your grace, in your mercy, that we're striving, Father, not to earn our way to heaven or buy our way or be wise enough to get there, but to just trust in you and live for you on a daily basis. Thank you for each one here present today. If there's anybody here outside of Christ today, I pray that they will make sure that they are in Christ, so that when that tribulation comes, when this earth shakes, when the stars fall, when death and famine and plagues come, that we'll be safe in your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing this invitation? Into my heart, into my heart.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Well, thank you for being here. You realize you have perfect attendance now this year, so just keep it up. Yes, dear.
At the high school cafeteria. If you can't do it that time,
Yeah, we've done that for several years, long, long time. So I'll get Karen to baking those pies here. Like, that's not going to happen. Do we have anybody that can you just talk to her afterwards or something here and kind of make sure we have that covered? We can purchase some, I suppose, too, if we need to do that. I'll be glad to help with that. All right. Well, Mike Mitchell, pray for us, brother. Send us on our way.
Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this place. Thank you that you are everything and that you are in everything. And there's a reason for everything. You're trying to get our attention to always turn to you through our adversities and our suffering. And we praise you for that. And thank you for sending us safely back home today through this weather as we watch you in all things and how you handle all things that come at us each and every day. Thank you for choosing us and electing us to be builders of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Send the light. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light. Send the light. There's a soul to rescue, there's a soul to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light and shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.